Look at this. I got headphones on. I got a mic going. Baby.
If only people could see you now.
Hey, no video. We've gone through this before.
All right,
No
all right,
video.
all right. Welcome to This Commerce Life. This is a podcast aimed at small, medium entrepreneurs focused on commerce. I'm Phil, your host, and Kenny, your co-host, will join us as well. And we're going to talk to you about the world of retail and commerce and how things are changing in the world.
It's working.
That's hilarious.
It's okay. There's an on-off button.
Do I sound better?
Did you hear what Linda said?
No, I didn't. What'd she say?
Linda texts me. Hey, you sound like you're in witness protection.
Right? I was like, oh my God, I sound so bad.
Oh,
for
my
the
God,
for I the was... listeners, I apologize. Last week, like,
I loved it.
I got this awesome new mic, and it was just it was kind of terrible. I sound like we were trying to drown Kermit the Frog, is what I sounded like.
You still sound really deep, eh?
Do I really still? Yeah. Okay, hold on. Let me mess around because I still got this Shure mic. So if this doesn't work, I'll take it back. Okay, how does that sound?
That's better. There's a button on the back.
Yeah,
because it's the same as mine, right? And I think one of them's called, I don't know if it was acoustic or.
Oops, I you know, they light up different lights. So
yeah, that's exactly.
that's
because I think light. When I first was using this, I did that too. I was doing something. I thought, wow, fuck, that doesn't sound quite right.
Look,
yeah, there's a guitar. There's a comment box if you look at the top of it, and a guitar. You must have been the guitar and music one because you sounded.
No, so it's the other way around because if I'm on the. God, I'm so old. I need glasses. I need reading glasses.
I can't say I had to take mine off.
Okay, so if I put this on the,
or maybe it's the guitar one.
So I'm on the guitar one. So if I put this is the regular.
Yeah, you sound like Kermit the Frog.
Yeah, so this makes me sound like Kermit the Frog. Yeah. This one is the comment box, which is better, but not
better.
Amazing. And then this one is the guitar one.
That's better.
Which is the best one of the three.
That one, yeah.
But I assume that was supposed to be for instrumentals, but no, not so much. So
yeah, your voice is an instrument. Huh? 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 Yeah, come on. Huh?
Yeah, baby. But
and rice,
no.
Man. I'm on a fucking tear, man. I'm on a tear, baby. I'm on a tear.
I love it.
Do we have somebody tonight?
We do. We have Peter Rodriguez on with us tonight.
Hmm.
So we're just waiting for him to show.
Okay.
Peter is an amazing dude. He is, I'll actually introduce him before he gets here because he gets all embarrassed and stuff. But Peter, I've known, how long have I known him now? I've known him since 2005 or 2006. Somewhere there. Long time. So
and from where?
You know, over 10 years.
From J&J days?
Yeah, J&J, Pfizer, then J&J days. Mm-hmm. He and I worked on Benylin, Benadryl, Sudafed, Sinutab, all of that cold stuff. But he's this amazing marketer. He's been through, he went from J&J, he worked for... before or after that, he worked for a series of candy companies, and then he worked for Smucker's. He was recently VP or CMO for marketing for Smucker's. He did a stint at Kellogg's, and now he's doing his own thing. He's doing he's doing something called Brand Igniter, which I will do a terrible job of, but essentially he's recognized that kind of in the new age of marketing or in the new age of representing yourself, that you and your brand matters as much as more than the company that you work for or the business that you represent or things like that.
I would totally agree with that.
Yeah. So he's started up a whole series of businesses that help people figure out what they are, who they are, how to speak about themselves. You know, some of the branding messages that we do, he figures that out for people. So, which is really cool.
It's interesting. It's an important part too, because I think people forget that definitively you work for the person paying the bills. Mm-hmm. Hang on a second. What's that? Oh, it's an alarm. Sorry, buddy. My alarm on my phone. But I think what happens, you forget, is that as much as you need to do the job for the company you're working for or whomever you're working for, but don't lose sight that at the end of the day, if things change or, you know, you decide to move on or they decide to move you on, like you've got to have been doing your own thing. Mm-hmm. You're not doing your own thing. You got to be doing your own branding mm-hmm. all the way through. It's very important to remember that you are a sellable commodity.
Yep. Yeah.
Right. Not just your company or whatever you might be pitching, but you should always be on the market. You don't have to leave. You could stay with someone for 300 years. No issue.
Yep.
But you should always have it in the back of your head that, you know, you've got to take care of yourself too.
I think it goes beyond that. So I 100% agree with you. And I think that the other thing is, you know, folks that are in, you know, kind of this older generation and in our generations, right, is their identity of who they are is tied to the companies they're with, right? And so you get this whole, like, you know, you think of the number of parties you've been to where people go, people used to say a lot of things like, I'm the VP of sales or I'm the director of sales, right? Like director was a big thing, right? I'm director of sales. And you're kind of like, nah, you know what? That's your job. But what are you?
You're not what's a director of sales mean?
Yeah.
Right. I agree.
At home, I'm a director of nothing. So
I'm pretty much a director of nothing. Most places I go.
Yeah. I'm the head janitorial staff. Yeah. Head janitorial staff and like, you know, fleet driver, Uber driver.
Yeah, I've done that.
But you know, so and I, to that point, I think it's very much like, how do you transcend some of that stuff, right? And then I think what Peter does that's really cool is it allows you to be able to say, yeah, you know what, like my day job, I'm whatever, but here's who I am, right? Like, He's not that kind of guru where he's going to like turn your life inside out. It's more like, but I think he'll help you with the messaging that you need to be able to, you know, to be able to go and do this, you know, be able to speak about yourself coherently, I think.
Which is good.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It's good. It's what you should be doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes even just the basic things, like I still find with a lot of corporate is even in signatures. And I know and he's going to talk about bigger and better things mm-hmm. that I'm going to shoot my shit about. But, you know, looking just at signatures, why aren't you, if you do a podcast with your buddy Phil, why aren't you having that all over all your email addresses? Why are you not talking about the fact that you aren't just Phil who works for Nimi or Kenny, who's an executive VP of Orion sales or a consultant at La Grotta or whatever you are, who cares? Mm-hmm. You are other things, right? And a lot of the other things are actually the cool ones. So I tell this even a lot of my friends, like LinkedIn, don't just use it as this glorified resume. Like do stuff on it. Show people that you read things, show people that, you know, you're bigger than just this, the job title, like you said, that you are. Don't just post things about your strict wheelhouse. Talk mm-hmm. about things like show. Yeah. I think it's like anything. I think people just want to know who's Phil.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not the CMO at Nimi. Yeah. That's what you are, but that's not just you. Like, you are other things. Your dad, your husband, you may not be good at either, but you know, that's a whole different argument, right?
Yeah. Sorry.
He forgot.
No, he didn't forget. I think that the calendar invite threw a Google Hangout in there as well.
It did. I tried that. I went there first.
I'm sorry.
And then I went to, well, you know why? Because I'm thinking, I've never seen this before.
I turn that thing off, but I think that every time
Google does it. It might be there all the time.
I kill it at every... You know, because Google wants you to use all their shit.
Yeah, right? It says join in info, meet Google. So I did that first. Yeah. And then I thought,
We don't do that. You know.
Well, at least I knew we didn't do that.
Yeah. No. So poor Peter, you know, we've been talking about it. I mean, we've said really good things, but anyway, he was waiting on the Google conference, you know, so he said, because I picked up my phone to go, Peter, are you, wake up.
Exactly.
Join us, right? And then he was like, I'm here. Where are you guys, right? So.
Oh, we're somewhere else.
Yeah. So hopefully he joins us in a second. So.
No, feel bad. No, feel bad. You know what? It's at least it's not. It's usually me who's late or taking an hour to sign on or not knowing where the hell he is. And tell him not to. I went there anyway. I was already there.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I went to that Google thing. I looked. I'm thinking. I don't know what this is.
Yeah, we don't. It's kind of frustrating because it's like it's just this. I turn it off all the time, and it just keeps coming back. I guess because it's Google and they can do what they want, right? Like,
well, they own everything.
They have everything else. Anyway, okay. I've just resent him the Zoom stuff, so how the heck are you?
I'm good. I'm all. We're getting ready, man. I got the haircut. I got my Mexican haircut, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
You better believe it. I'm already mentally. I'm on that plane. By the time this comes out Monday night,
baby,
I'll be three days in the sun, baby. 3 days in the sun with the corona, amazing. Not the virus, the beer.
Yeah.
Back and watching.
Oh my gosh.
Just watching the waves.
Oh my gosh.
In. Oh my excited, gosh. Man. It'd be nice to get out of here. That's, seriously. Fuck, we snowed yesterday.
Really?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We got snow yesterday. I mean, it's all gone.
Yeah. It was freaking cold yesterday.
No, we were
cold today.
We were snowing. We just snowed. We started snowing early in the morning and snowed until dinner. Not a lot on the ground. It was wet snow. It was like the old ugly Vancouver snow. But it's still like, I mean, in East Van, we had about 2 inches of snow.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Like in my area, it's about 5-6 centimeters. It's not a lot, but you know, in our city, it's a ton, right?
Hello.
Peter.
Hey,
how are you?
I am doing great. Hey,
excellent. Bill.
Hey. We're all here.
I apologize. I turn off the Google Hangouts at every turn, but Google just insists on putting it back in. So I'm sorry you were sitting waiting for us.
Don't worry about it. I did the same. I went there first, and I'm looking and thinking, I don't think this is where I'm supposed to be. I don't remember being here before. it's Phil's fault.
It is. It is my fault. It is.
Wonderful. So, it's a pleasure to see you guys.
Yeah, no, it's super exciting. So we have Peter Rodriguez on. Peter, meet Kenny Vannucci. Kenny Vannucci, meet Peter.
Kenny, it's a pleasure meeting you.
Likewise. I've heard a lot of good things.
Yeah, like same here.
Thank you. But yours are probably true. So,
are you calling Phil a liar? Oh my god!
He might have to embellish his stories.
No. Me. I'm a marketer, not a liar. Oh. Okay,
that's very close. That's a very thin line.
That's semantics. That's all semantics.
Sometimes they're interchangeable.
Sometimes they're exactly the same.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
it's been hard to earn this reputation, eh?
You know what? It takes years of practice and dedication.
Exactly. And consistency.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So it's well earned and well deserved.
Well earned, yeah.
And I'm not hiding from it either. It's all good.
Yeah.
Oh my god. So for listeners, I have Peter Rodriguez on. Peter, I was talking about you already and how cool you are, and I'm super excited to have you on. One of the things that probably nobody knows is I've already told the listeners that, you know, I've known you, I think since like 05 or 06 or something like that in the Pfizer days, right?
That's right. 05. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so one of the things that Peter and I do with one other person that we work with is we're part of a foodie group, and we've met twice a year, right? The last 10 years or so, I think. Yeah.
Easily, probably going into 12 years. Yeah.
Like to, you know, and we have a goal. We try something new every time.
Making or going out?
Going out.
No, going out. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you send me some of these places? You know, I'm in Toronto a couple of times a year. I like to eat.
Well, you know,
the Diners Club is a special
place. You know, I don't have
to hang out with the two of you. Just give me a place to go. I'll even go a night that I know you're not going to be there. Does that make you feel better?
Well, you know, I think it's, I don't think that we have done one place twice. I think
we haven't.
Good. You shouldn't.
It's been, it has been really great. I mean, I think we've had great experiences.
Yes.
And I think that it's been like a little tour around the world.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been really cool.
That's good. Your city's grown up. Toronto's become a a really cool, I mean, I hate to say this from Vancouver, and I hope nobody from Vancouver is listening. Uh-huh. Toronto's become a pretty cool city. It's a really nice, clean, less hustle and bustle New York.
Yeah.
I like Toronto. I think Toronto's just a cool city. It's got a lot of cool shit going on. Yeah. You need mountains, that's all.
Yeah, we don't have those.
No, you need mountains. Yeah. If you had mountains, you'd be pretty stellar.
Yeah.
We don't have ocean. Yeah,
so no, you need that. Well, you got a lake. Yeah,
we need an ocean.
That's a big lake, though.
Yeah.
It's a big lake.
Yeah.
It's a big lake.
Okay. So I want to jump into this because there's a lot, and I think this one is going to go right off the charts because I think it's super exciting. So I was telling Kenny in the audience a little bit about the exercise that you've taken on and the ventures that you're on, this Brand Igniter thing. What I would love is, you know, if you've got an intro prepared, we'd love to hear it. But I'd love to like just get into, you know, what I've said to these guys is what you've picked up on is, you know, in this day and age, personal branding is critical to who you are. It transcends, you know, your professional life or the current title that you're holding or the last title you held, any of those sort of things. And I think that, I don't know, forgive me if I've got it wrong, but the Brand Igniter stuff you're doing is, you know, pretty phenomenal, right? Like, you know, so I'd love to, you know, have you talk about that and kind of explain what that is to our audience.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you very much, Bill and Kenny, for having me. It's an honor for me to be part of this podcast. And thank you for inviting me to share some insight around personal branding and Brand Igniter. So as a matter of brief introduction, Brand Igniter emerged as a response to a big market need. The personal thrust behind Brand Igniter is my deep belief that marketing is actually crucial to business development and business growth and economic growth. I am a marketer with a deep conviction that marketing is crucial for the well-being of a brand, a company, and the sustainable growth of an economic opportunity. So that's what drives me. And really, I believe that deeply. I've been a marketer for 3 decades. So I'm dating myself. And in this, I'm currently a chartered marketer by the Canadian Marketing Association. It's a designation that I uphold with a lot of pride. And it's an honor for me to have that designation. And I have had the opportunity to run some of the best known brands in the world, working in tier one companies like Kellogg's, Pfizer, J&J, Nestle, Smucker, and that has given me tremendous opportunities to build brands, regain market share, and launch brands and recover brands that are in trouble. So that, as a background, has given me all of this opportunity to think broadly about a number of cases. Now, before that, I had the opportunity to be in advertising for a number of years, where I honed in the skills of understanding really consumers and need states and desires of why people buy things. And I also had the opportunity to be in media. So this, a little bit of a rare combination, is what gave me a few years ago the idea of Brand Igniter. Now, in this day and age where you see that companies, especially in Canada, have been losing those skills from people because of the number of restructurings that have occurred in our market, the functions are still needed, but people who know how to do those functions are no longer around, either because they have moved on or they have been moved on. So the when I said at the beginning that that's the genesis of Brand Igniter is because there are a number of brands that have become asleep. They are kind of like sleeping. And the purpose of Brand Igniter is to wake up those sleepy brands. So that is the essence and the uniqueness or difference of Brand Igniter is that it simplifies the complex. So instead of creating this aura of complexity around marketing processes and marketing discipline, the decision that I made was to repackage all of that intellectual property into simple frameworks. So for example, that gave that made branding, brand name come to life, brand wars come to life, brand voice come to life, brand smarts come to life, and so forth. There are a total 8 different methodologies, and all of them have the common thread of making things simple. So in other words, where you would typically have a lot of mumbo jumbo and lingo that makes things sound more complicated than they are, with me, it is just straight to the point. It's about persuasion. I don't call it communication. It's about consumer persuasion. It's about branding, and it's about training. So as simple as that. So that is a brief introduction of the genesis of this. And I'm happy to follow your lead in terms of talking about brand me. There is a lot to talk mm-hmm. about brand me. Mm-hmm. And this is probably one of the areas that we in business have been remiss to take care of. We, especially marketing, marketers were the worst at this. We take care. We take so much care of our brands, and we give our lives for our brands. And we forget about the most important brand, your own brand. Mm-hmm. To the point that when you are asked, hey, tell me about yourself, there is a lot of hesitation. There is not a concrete answer. There is no impact in the responses. And this happens across the board. Like CEOs and people new to business do the same. When you ask them this question, there is very little power in the answer. So how do you market yourself if you don't know how to answer this question? How do you tell a good story about yourself? And the thing is that you need to teach people how to think about you. Because if you don't teach them how to think about you, then they will make whatever story they can make mm-hmm. in their heads with mm-hmm. information they have at hand. Mm-hmm. And that story may not be what you want them to remember of you. Mm-hmm. You may end up in a place in their minds that you don't want to be in. Mm-hmm. And this happens every time when you interact with people. So that was the genesis of brand me. And I will follow your lead. If you want to ask me questions, I'm happy to go along. Because if you don't stop me, I'll just keep talking. And it's going to be 6 a.m.
No. I think it's, you know, so Kenny and I were talking about this before, and I just think it's such a critical step, right? Like, you know, I think of, you know, we're all three of us are in relatively the same age range. And so you think of, you go to parties, the number of people who anchor their reputations based on, I'm a director of, you know, I'm a CMO, or I'm a, you know, and that's how they lead, right? But you kind of like, you know, and then so when they do, one of the things that Kenny and I talk about a lot on this podcast is what happens when you leave those jobs and you go and do something brand new. They get lost along the way, right? Because they realize, like, I'm no longer a director of, so what am I, right? And there's no concrete answer for that, right? So I think what you're doing with this is the brand me portion, right, of Brand Igniter.
That's right.
So brand me, I think, is a really unique way of going through this.
That's right. And if I think that if you want to visualize it in some way, I see people wearing a corporate cloak.
Yeah.
Someone say we get so comfy in the corporate cloak. Corporate cloak. Mm-hmm. The corporate cloak is exactly what you described. It is that name of the company and the position you have in that company. Mm-hmm. And it is so comfortable. But you'd better have a very nice shirt underneath that cloak, because the cloak when you leave the cloak or someone takes it away from you, people feel naked.
Yeah, what's left?
Yeah. I know one of my clients for Brand Me is a CEO who went through a transition. And I was networking with him once, and I told him, well, tell me about your business. And he was very eloquent. It was brilliant articulation of their strategies, their objectives, and the mission, the vision, all of those things that are fantastic. And then the next question I asked is, tell me about yourself. The answer was, I was, I did, I've been, I had. Everything was in the past. And it was all about things that he had done in his past roles. But the reality is that people don't have time for that. People want to hear only one thing. What are you going to do for me today? What can you do to make my life easier, better, simpler? And people forget about that. So that's why it is so crucial to have this ready in. People forget about this again. People feel naked. And I've been very fortunate to speak with a lot of very smart people, incredibly capable, highly successful, with 20, 25, almost 30 years of experience, that although they come from senior roles, they cannot articulate this well. And the only reason why they can't do this is because it is not easy to do that introspection by yourself. The insight that I found along the way is that people, when they try to do this, even if they're very good marketers or business people, it's like a great surgeon trying to do an appendectomy on themselves. You can't.
Only works in spy movies.
Exactly. Exactly. And even then.
Yeah.
So yeah. People, I usually tell people, what I'm going to teach you and show you is nothing that you don't know or you haven't heard. This is very well known. But those principles of brand positioning that have built the best brands in the world, because they're very tried and true and tested, you need to apply them to a personal brand. You need to go through the discipline of dissecting those three things. And that's how the model was built. There was nothing new. And when you see the actual model, you say, well, I know this. But the point is not to know it, but to practice it. There is a big difference from saying, oh, I know how those three elements that you talk about, Peter, they're very clear and very simple. But getting to the core of each one of those elements, like being distinctive, being relevant, being purposeful, those have to have a very deep root in who you are. And before you know it, after you do the exercise, you find how unique and distinctive you are. And then you become, your brand becomes a powerful brand. And I'm happy to talk about this as we go along. Because Peter, it's very simple. Go ahead.
I think some of it is obviously, I don't think we're very comfortable about talking about ourselves. I think it's just generally probably socially not acceptable to come out and, you know, spew all this stuff about yourself. I'm assuming that might be one sort of thing. I think too, in a corporate world, I don't think corporations necessarily want you thinking a lot about Peter, Phil, or Kenny. They'd rather you be thinking about the entity and what it means to be, you know, true J&J or true whomever it is. So you're saying is what you're saying, I think, is spot on, but I think there's a discomfort and then probably almost a discouragement. One entity probably tries to discourage, and they may not tell you that, Peter, you should be the greatest person on earth, but really just think about me. That's the company. And the other side is, well, shit, you know, I don't want to talk too much about myself because, you know, it looks like you're, you know. I don't know. I mean, you see people. I would have a hard time. Like if you ask me, I'd have a hard time answering this. I can tell you what I do, but until I really got comfortable with you, I'd probably be very hesitant to say too much about me because I'd be thinking, well, I don't want to sound either boastful or conceited or whatever it is. And that's not what this is about. You got to get past that. If I tell you things honestly about myself that are really true and skill sets I have, it's not boastful.
Peter, one of the things that Kenny and I have kind of kicked around a lot is, you know, he's got a really unique skill set for everything, right? He's a pretty unique guy in terms of the things that he loves, you know, the tattoos he has, right? And then the mix with, you know, corporate life, with being a retailer before, and then the expertise he's got now to help, you know, businesses of all shapes and sizes, right? And so I feel like that's the alchemy that, you know, Kenny, if I'm so bold, is I think that Brand Me is the sort of thing that would help you kind of like shake that out into something, you know, really refined, right? Because I think
you said more about me than I'll say about me.
Right, right. But I think that's the point, right? I think the point is
that is the point, right?
Is not for you to go, look, I was a buyer for 30 years and I launched all the, you know, I was first to market with Instapot. Like, those are not the things you want to lead with, but you do want to lead with like, look, like, you know, I'm a father of two amazing kids. You know, I've got this amazing wife. I've got these, you know, I love tattoos. I'm going to continue to get them because they rock. And by the way, like, I blow up companies, you know, like I blow up companies and like companies that come to me, like they go through a grinder, and when they're done, they're healthier, they're happier, they're growing. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like those are the sort of things that, right, Peter? Like, I think those are the really healthy kind of things that you want to be able to put out that allow people to shape an image of you.
But I think it's sort of
you put it very well.
It goes against what we're sort of always taught,
yeah,
to do in, yeah, some ways. It just, you know what I mean. Yeah. You don't,
that humble pie and,
yeah, the, I know, guess whatever, so. To Peter, that's what, yeah, I'm asking you is like, is it a cultural thing that we? Is it a corporate cultural thing? Is it just a cultural thing? Like, why don't we do a better job of saying what we do?
You know, I think two things. I think a brand has to be authentic. And when it is boastful, it is not authentic. So it's not about boasting about what you do, or because then immediately people shut up. I mean, it is not that. So because authenticity is a key component of a good brand. So, but I will answer your question. It's a great question. I think it goes beyond culture. I think it goes into the not understanding what is it that people need to hear. You said something very interesting. I mean, I know what I do and I can talk about what I do, but the reality is that when we talk about what we do, a lot of people do things that are kind of like similar. So for example, I've met a lot of people who say, well, you know, I have launched 3 brands. Well, this other person launched 5 brands and that little lady launched 10 brands. Mm-hmm. So every time you talk about the what's, what I do or what I've done, it is in a way like private label. It's table stakes to some extent. And that will not differentiate a brand. What will make a brand stand out is something much more unique to you. And it is how you do things. And very few people take the time to know themselves as to how they do things. So, one of the things that I tell, that I do in my practice, is I have people think about the performance appraisals when they were in the corporate world. Ugh. And then, but look at them and read them in a different light. Because if you look at all those documents, all of them are full of what's. We achieved plan, exceeded plan, created this, launched this, and it's all about what's. What it doesn't say is the one thing that you know better than anyone is, what is it that you did to make that happen? And that was something unique to you. And when you look at 10, 15 different accomplishments across your so many years of career, you start looking at those in a very consistent way. You have been successful not because of the what's you've done. You have been incredibly successful because of how you do things, how you articulate leadership, how you articulate programs, how you look at problems and create solutions and overcome obstacles. And that how stands miles ahead of what you did. So, for example, I have found in people's performance appraisals something that looked really bad because maybe the result was we missed plan, but how did you miss the plan? Some people have found that they actually drove the organization to a better place after all of that mess. That is what is really the essence that people want to hear. So for example, when Phil says you blow up companies, that is a very powerful message that will be placed in someone's mind in a much more powerful way. It will not go away easily. Whereas if you say, well, there is all of this that I've done, then people start trying to figure out and make a story in their mind. Right. What should right. I think yeah. about you? So I think that, you know, I usually talk about these three numbers, and I'm going to ask you, you have heard it. 15, 8, 6. Have you heard those that sequence?
How do you know the combination to my luggage?
As you know,
what
you
the...
know,
I'm just joking.
You should see, you should hear what you say after we've had dinner with a... I just pay attention. That sequence is the attention span in seconds in the last 20 years, going from 2000 to 2018-19. So at the beginning of the century, we had an attention span of nearly 15 seconds. Now we're close to 6.
Wow.
So when you start, when you hear the question, tell me about yourself, and if you start going around in a very broad way, then by the time you hit second 7, you've lost people, because people do not have the ability anymore of paying attention for a long amount of time. Mm-hmm. So you've heard about the elevator pitch, right? And most of us have one. Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you that the elevator pitch is dead. Because of this reason, it's useless. Because by second 7, people are not listening anymore. What you need now is an escalator pitch. And the escalator pitch is, as you can picture, what happens on an escalator. One escalator goes up, the other escalator goes down, and let's say Kenny and I are one going up, one going down. Mm-hmm. And if I shout, hey, Kenny, good to see you. I'm the brand igniter, eh? And then Kenny says, what? What is that? What is that brand igniter thing? And if I do my job well, he will say, well, that is a little crazy. Maybe he will hate a little bit of that idea, because that's what a good brand is supposed to do. It's supposed to generate tension. It's supposed to make people stop on their tracks and say, what is that? Mm-hmm. If I did my job well, he will come back and, Peter, what is that, a brand igniter? Can you tell me more? And bingo, I've done my job. It gives me the opportunity to go to 5 seconds. And I might say, well, brand igniter means that I wake up sleepy brats. Okay, so that's my 5 seconds. And then how you do that? Okay, so then I go to the 15 second or 10 second. I do this by helping people find new growth with specific frameworks. I want to hear more. And then maybe he will give me the opportunity to go into a 30 second elevator pitch or 1 minute or more. And that is the same principle that some of the most successful brands in the world use. So if you think of, for example, about Tide, the detergent, I mean, there is so much behind Tide. It's all this technology and all this science behind making things clean. But it comes down to one simple articulation. If it has to be clean, it has to be Tide. And once that those two things are in your head, clean and Tide, it occupies a unique place in your mind that it's very difficult for another brand to occupy. So I would ask you, who are listening, what is that statement for you that is so simple that in 2 seconds you can say about yourself? And that's what this framework does. It forces you to go to a 2-second version. That's the biggest chance that I give people going through this process. Tell me about yourself in 2 seconds, something that is memorable, relevant to me, it's distinctive for you, and it is purposeful. And once that is there, then it's almost like the spearhead that will open up that piece of real estate in people's minds. The same principle as with brand positioning. The best brand positionings, as I just mentioned, are very simple, very short, and very impactful.
That's
so
cool.
Again, it is the principles of brand positioning applied to your brand.
Yeah.
Wow.
Kenny, what are you thinking? There's lots of stuff going on there. That's Kenny's thinking face.
Yeah. I'm just thinking. I'm just listening and trying to.
I told you, right? He's cool. Yeah. Peter's a smart guy.
Yeah. I like it. Thank you.
I like it. I like that. I said lots of good things about you
already. Oh, you did.
I'm a big fan.
It's fascinating because it's not something, again, what you're talking about is not something that I think we just sort of naturally do or naturally think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we should. I totally agree with you. But it's definitely something you'd have to learn. I don't think it's innate.
But
that's right. It is not innate. Mm-hmm. It is not innate. And, you know, one thing that you reminded me of is that this has to do with our understanding of brands. We talk a lot about brands, but very few people take the time to understand what a brand is. And I think that there are two secrets, if you will, that when you unlock them, of a brand, and more importantly, about your brand, make it very clear. So what is a brand? A brand is three things. A brand is a promise. A brand is a shortcut. And a brand is an asset. And I will tell you why I believe that. A brand is a promise, first and foremost. It's a promise of a consistent experience every time I interact with you. That is the promise that if you say you're going to do something, you do it, and it makes me believe in your brand. Again, going back to Tide. Mm-hmm. If it has to be clean, it has to be Tide. I use Tide, and the brand, mm-hmm. and clothes are clean. Mm-hmm. Then I believe in that. Right? And but the product itself is the reason to believe. It's just like what you do is the product. Nobody really cares that much about the product. People buy the need states that you promise. The second thing is that it's a shortcut. It has to clearly articulate what the value of your brand is. And so also for an individual, it has to be a very clear shortcut to understanding what is it that you do. You may be able to do 400 things, but you need to start by creating that by having one stake on the ground that people can easily understand. And the last thing is that it's an asset. And very few people treat brands as assets. And it is the most important asset that you will have in your career. And why is that? I'm just going to give you an example. The most valuable brands in the world, as measured by Kantar, globally, all of them outperform consistently over decades the stock market. So if you look at the chart of the average valuation of the stock market, you take the 100 most valuable brands, and they outperform it by an index of 140, 160, 170. And it happens the same with other metrics, like other companies like Ipsos. They do a metric, they measure influence. The ones that are considered most influential brands, they outperform the stock market too. So there are two reasons why that happens. One, they outperform the market because they can create demand, desire for the brand in advance of needing the brand. So they're creating this desire to have that brand. And the second thing is that they can command a premium price. So because of being so well done, then you can command a premium price for the same product. The same product. So as you apply it to your personal brand, if you have a powerful brand, it will be able to create those opportunities for you in advance. People will want to work with you and have you give them a little bit of what you have to give because they understand the value very clearly. And the second thing, they will be primed to pay you more. So they will be happy to pay a premium price for your services. So in that sense, that understanding of a brand as a promise, a shortcut, and as an asset, if it's clear, then you can manage it. It's an actual asset mm-hmm. that you can manage. Mm-hmm. But it is something that you need to proactively do. Because then that will be understood through everything you do in your communication. So, and the second thing is that we forget, the second big insight or secret is where a brand lives. Your brand doesn't live in your resume, doesn't live in your social media, doesn't live on a shelf, doesn't live on a brand statement. It lives in the heads and the minds of the people you want to influence. That is the most valuable real estate. If you have a brand statement on a piece of paper and it's not in the minds of the people you want to influence, you really don't have a brand. You have to actually make it come to life. Yeah. So that those two things are critical. And to your point, Kenny, we don't think about that because we're not thinking as marketers. I think once someone told me, well, you're a coach, and I couldn't be any farther than being a coach. I'm not a coach. I'm a marketer. And that's probably what separates me and helps me understand mm-hmm. your brand. So I see you as a brand. And I can put things together in the way that I would do for a commercial brand and put these things to work. But it is very important to acknowledge and think about your personal brand, because at the end of the day, that's what's going to make you successful, even more successful. It's going to be creating opportunities for you ahead of you going for them.
Right.
So a lot of people focus so much in sales. It is so common to go and do the push activity, which is important, but the pull activity, which is this demand creation in advance, is what your brand does. So it makes things easier. It's the air cover to send the troops later, but you need a good air cover. You need to get people primed to want you.
As you work with clients and kind of put this through this, do you, my perspective is I feel like everybody should go through this, right? Like I think everyone should go through this exercise so they understand how to, you know, position themselves. Not everybody needs to get ready for a party or a dinner party or something like that, but I do think you need this, as part of a larger framework. I think of Kenny, the number of people that we've talked to on this show that, you know, could benefit from something like this. Do what's your kind of primary, like who comes to you?
Who comes to you? That's what Vanessa's saying.
Yeah.
Like, who is it? Who's knocking on the door?
Yeah.
It is a very broad range of people. So it's typically on three distinctive groups. The first one is senior executives who are left without their corporate cloak unexpectedly. They're transitioning and they don't know how to talk about themselves. Yep. And they have never gone through this exercise of understanding their value and how to market it. So that's where a big need in the market is. On the other hand, it is people who are beginning their careers because they are beginning to understand where to go. I mean, some people may start in one part of the business that is an entry point, but they need to find themselves. Mm-hmm. So in many cases, they want to be able to articulate their value. They come out of school with a ton of potential, a ton of promise, but they do not know how to organize this. Mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to do recently a video for the CMA, the Canadian Marketing Association, in the Next. That's it's a platform helping new marketers, new people in marketing, build their skills and find their mm-hmm. their path in the business world. Mm-hmm. And I spoke about this, and the videos were created based on that desire of people to market yourself, to have a framework to do this. And the last and not least is people who have been in the business for 8 to 10 years, and then they're reaching a plateau in their development. So they're now very comfortable what they do. They're a little stuck, and mm-hmm. they haven't realized their potential.
Right.
Because at some point, a job can fulfill only so much of your potential. And at some point, once that you are very well versed in your company, your role in mm-hmm. what you do, then it becomes almost like a very narrow lane. So it has a very broad applicability. This is actually the only product that I have that applies to everyone. The Brand Wars, for example, is very specific for companies, and so it's a pressure testing of your plans based on a competitive view. So that has a very specific corporate use. Yeah. But brand new is really for everyone, anyone, and it is applicable even on a personal level, because your family, your loved ones need to understand how you need to teach them how to think of you, or they will again make up their own story. They will pick up things here and there, and they will make decisions based on that. So the methodology, what I try to do is to simplify it to the most purest essence, which is, how do I need you to perceive me so that your needs are met with my value? At the end of the day, it's a very human process. Mm-hmm. It's in our interactions as humans with friends, family, business. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, we have an added value that is only appreciated if it is connected to those needs of those who you want to influence. The absence of that creates a disruption. So that's why it's a long answer to your question, but the applicability of the methodology is across human interactions.
Hmm. Love it.
How do you, Peter, let me ask him. So you're talking, let's say, for that 8 to 10 year employee, or that one that's sort of plateauing, right? But the perception of them amongst the coworkers, executives, or whatever is now pretty well established. You know, so you don't, you know, your first impression is long gone. You know what I mean? So you're like, a rebranding is in essence maybe what you're doing at that point. The young person you're trying to brand, because I haven't done enough to screw up my image to anybody at this point. I've got odds of getting out of this mess.
But you know,
when you creep up into the ages of closer to the three of us, it's a little more complicated. But even for that 8 to 10, we got older. People may have perceptions about us, but our suitcase is large enough, and maybe we've got other ways to. You've got a chance to rebrand, maybe a little easier potentially. But I wonder, what do you, that 8 to 10 to 12 year employee, like, how does that person? That's a tough one to get out of, right? Because you're kind of already been pigeonholed. You're there because you're there. Now what?
That's right. That's right. And it goes again the same. It's the same process and situation that a brand that has lost relevance goes through. You already have them in a specific place. Right. Now, you mentioned a very important word: relaunch, rebranding, restaging a brand. So the process is exactly the same. So there are three steps to overcome that, just like in the commercial world. Number one, it is doing a very thoughtful and thorough business review of your brand, finding what is it that people perceive, why are they perceiving that, what are the reinforcers that you're sending every time you interact with them that makes them believe that you're in that circle, and having a clear understanding of that. The second thing is, what are the drivers that people want to see for the current problems, the current desires, the current fears? And then the third thing is to put in those two things together. So taking your inventory of assets, your attributes, what you do, elevating them to benefits based on that thing. And start slow and start very focused, in a very focused way, to talk about those things and reposition yourself on one thing and one thing only, and get one person of influence to believe in that. Restate yourself. So this is what you used to believe. Now I'm going to tell you about your needs, which is what you want to hear, and about the benefit that I can offer for you, because you didn't know that. So it's relaunching a brand.
Right.
It is Kenny 2.0.
Right.
For your needs
or
today.
Or 5.0 now.
Yeah, 5.0. Yeah.
2.0 is a long time ago, my friend.
It was a long time ago. Okay.
A long time ago.
But again, it is talking about the needs and desires of people who need something today. and then speaking about the benefits that you have. Now, it's obviously going to be more difficult for that individual because there is a history. You can say, well, right. I'm not really sure of that. But if you pick the right lane and if you pick the right need or need state with the right benefit, people are going to start seeing people in a different way, just like with a brand. You need to invest enough time in terms of two things. Right. You need to have reach and frequency. It's the same principle. Reach in terms of reaching the people who can amplify your message, people who can help you get others to rethink about you with a clear message. Number two is repetition. People don't learn before something new before 10 times you say the same thing. That is human nature. And that is the big fail in today's advertising. People have told us, oh, the message has been received. People have seen the message. Mm-hmm. It's not enough. In this age where people don't pay attention, you need to drill it, drill it. Then the final piece, and probably the most important one, is to deliver the goods. So, for example, I have an example of how this builds in being relevant, distinctive, and purposeful. So if you want people, if you're a very analytical person, let's say that you are great at analytics, and people only see you as analytical, you cannot go and tell them, you know, I am fantastic because I've done all this great analysis. That wouldn't help the reposition. You would have to define your audience in a new way. And defining the audience is not based on verticals or demographics or anything that is a mechanic that's superficial. Mm-hmm. You need to define them based on need states. What is it, the values that they aspire to? What are the attraction values? Attraction values like success, achievement, happiness, joy, community. What is it that they are attracted to in their work? And also the avoidance values. So which could be failure, isolation, loss. I mean, what is it? And find out exactly what is it that's driving them for a specific situation. For example, let's say that a company is going through growth. So probably the attraction values are much bigger compared to a company that is kind of like not losing market share, which is fighting the avoidance values. So let's say in this example that you identify those need states really well. That will give you a tremendous advantage over the audience and to change the perceptions that they have of you. Because if you talk about their desire, if you clearly articulate it for them and say, you know, this is something that's important to you, and here is a benefit that I'm offering you because of this reason. So it has to go, all of those connected. In this example, for if you want to reposition this individual who is analytical into something that's beyond that and avoid being pigeonholed after 8 or 10 years, you will have to have a clear definition of, for these people who think this way or feel this way or fear this or want this, and then I will give you this benefit. So for example, in this case, you would define your audience in your company that you want to get reappraised in. You wouldn't say, well, I want to, it's my boss and my boss's boss. That would be very limited. Or the executive team or the leadership team. Most people stay at that level of depth. You have to define them as something that is richer. For example, for leaders or managers who feel overwhelmed by the complexity of decision making. Once that you define that audience, then you have a very, very good audience that is anchored in the things that I described. There is emotion, there is avoidance value, there is attraction value. So if you're talking to those people, all of a sudden, then you open up and carve for yourself a mindset that no one is probably using right now. Then the next thing you would do is, that's what gives you relevance. Then the next thing is laddering up your benefits. So let's say that you're very analytic. You wouldn't just say, I am analytic. You would probably ladder up your benefit to say something like, I give you confidence in your decisions. I want to hear that, because if I'm overwhelmed by the complexity of decision making, I can give you confidence in your decision making. Mm-hmm. Now, that has to be followed very closely by something like this, because I make complicated analytics simple. So net-net, if you start talking about this with your amplifiers, then they will start seeing you in a different way. You have all of the reasons to believe that where the things that you were doing in your career become reasons to believe to your new position. Now, this guy is actually someone who makes things simple. He makes, he gives me confidence in my decisions. So the more I ask him, the more confident I feel. So then that changes that perception from someone who is pigeonholed as an analytical person who probably doesn't do more, preposition as an active element to give you confidence. It's a long answer, but it is, that's how you would do. You can come out of that hole where you yourself have put yourself into it, because it's people pigeonhole us because of our inability to reposition ourselves or refreshing our brand. They make up their own story, but you can. So the principles are the same. It is only the discipline to find the right need state and to elevate the attributes into benefits. It takes time. So I have to tell you that when I built my own brand statements, my personal brand statements, it took me months to do it. The first few versions were nowhere near where they needed to be. And,
I'm laughing. I have the same experience. Yeah.
But then if you keep working at these things and getting the right coaching or the right advice or the right, you know, echo from people who know you, from people who care about you, who know how to do these things, then you end up with a very powerful brand. Now, all of a sudden, you end up with something that is truly uniquely yours. And in this, I truly believe, as I said at the beginning, I believe in marketing as the force that moves the economy. And with 7.5 billion people on the planet, there are 7.5 billion brands. All of them are unique, not because of what they do, but because how they do it. The last thing on brand me as a framework is something that people usually forget and some people confuse terribly, which is purpose. And a brand that has only those two elements, relevance and distinctiveness without purpose, doesn't have deep roots. So your roots in your purpose is the roots of why you do things. This is the why.
Okay.
Up to now, I've spoken about how you do things that makes it
interesting.
But then the next level up is why you do things. So, for example, why do you do this? Why do you record a podcast every week? Why do you put so much passion and love and interest and knowledge and experience into it? There is something, when you think about it, there is something deep inside of you that makes you excel, that makes you be outstanding. So it is not visible, and I advise people not to make it visible to people, because this is a very personal thing. Sometimes people say, well, my purpose is this, and they confuse the market because they talk about the process, the purpose, and they also talk about their brand. So they are not, this is almost like something that is the undercurrent of your brand.
Yeah, it's kind of the, you know, your raison d'être, right? Like why you get up and why you do things and all of those.
Exactly.
Sort of things.
Yeah. This the net result of this part is something that reads like, I do what I do because I believe that.
Yeah.
And that is a very personal thing. So once that you have that clear, then all of a sudden, it is what gives you resilience, because at some point your brand will encounter in the market, you will encounter a lot of challenges, and a lot of brands fail because the managers of those brands decide to lose faith in them, or decide not to course correct, or decide not to invest, or they lose faith in brands, and then they're moved into the pile of, you know, as we experience in our past careers, brands that are great in potential, but no one cares about them. So this is, you should not, you should have a powerful purpose behind everything you do, because then that will give your brand that resilience, that power, that stamina to shine in good times and to go on through hard times. When those three things are working together in the model, when a brand is relevant, distinctive, and purposeful, then you have something that is so uniquely yours that it's very difficult to copy. It's almost impossible to copy. That's when people start saying, well, no one does this like Kenny. No one does this like Phil. Yeah. It's only you. Yeah. Phil is Phil. Right.
I love it. Wow. Peter.
Very interesting, Peter.
Peter. What very a treat. I love it. I love it so much. I love it so much.
I thoroughly enjoyed this one.
Yeah.
Thoroughly enjoyed this one.
I think it's really neat. We're running out of time. So what I'd love to do, maybe you can tell people where to find you. Where do they contact you? All that kind of stuff. I would say if you're a listener, you should be thinking about this. We have a lot of listeners who have thought about this, who haven't done it. You should think about this. So where do they find you, Peter?
Oh, it's my pleasure to give you that. So you can go to brandigniter.ca.
Okay.
That's the company's website. And I would be delighted to give your audience a special treat, if you will, as a thank you to you and Kenny for the invitation to join you today. I would love to give you the output of what brand me looks like and an initial guide on how to start thinking about your brand. So I will put together a special landing page for you, which will be brandigniter.ca /brandme template.
Okay.
Sample, I'm sorry. Brandme template.
Yeah. Cool.
And you can download that and get started. And that will give you a sense of the simplicity that this has. It's one of those things that is simple, but it's not easy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Have to work at it.
Got to work at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got to work at it.
I love it.
Very cool. I love it. That's awesome, man. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm so glad you came on. Thank you for, I'm used to this, but thank you for staying up.
Thank you both for staying up. It's only 9 o'clock for me. I'm going to watch a Bachelor.
It is a pleasure, and it is some definitely. I feel like thank you for and the invitation, Kenny. I also thank you for
my pleasure.
It's a pleasure to speak with you guys, and I admire your work, and I think that you're going to continue to make a big impact in the market. So. Thank you.
I'm coming for dinner with the two of you in Toronto. You know that. We're going to do our own special one.
Yeah, you always say that.
I'm not going to butt into your other one.
And then you come, and then you don't, you know.
I'm very busy.
When are you coming to Toronto?
Maybe toward the end of March. I may have to come back.
Okay.
No, Mark and I were talking about that. He came last week. It's my turn to go east. So I might be out there in March.
So this is a thing. It's on the podcast now. So next time you come, the three of us. No. Like,
I'm going to have dinner with the two of you. 100%. You guys can't get out of that. Yeah, I can get out of coming to Toronto, but you guys are stuck with me for dinner.
Like dinner is like a sacred thing here. Like there's two of us, food is right food, there. Right? Come on. You got
me. You know me. I love to cook and I love to eat.
I love it.
All good, man. Yeah. Peter, that was really good. Thank you. So I really do appreciate it.
Thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure meeting you, and thanks for having me.
Man, thanks for staying up so late, too.
All right.
Both of you.
All right.
Thank you.
Gentlemen,
have a great night, awesome. Guys.
Have a great day. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. That's the end of this Commerce Life. We'll be back soon with the next episode. Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed it. Give us feedback. Tell us what you think. Subscribe, like us, join us, share us, tell your friends about us. And we hope to see you next time with more commerce news.